Good evening. Good to see all of you here tonight. And I'm not going to spend any time up here taking Randy's time. We're going to turn this right over to Randy Jackson. We're really thrilled with the congregation our Lord has given us. We have some that have been with us since our beginning and many others whom the Lord has sent to be a part of our family and fellowship. And God has been so gracious to granting us people who are well-studied, the members of the body, they do different parts, different works, and they fit together and make up one body. And so we thank God for that. We have many who are studying the different areas. And our brother Randy Jackson is going to be teaching us what we called Greek 101 or elementary Greek, whatever. Randy, I'm sure you'll come up and clarify that for us. But we're really excited to have this. I think you're going to go about 5 weeks. Is that right? 5 weeks. So it's going to be a short study. But it's going to be very, very beneficial for us. So I'm not going to take any longer. We're going to ask Randy to come forward. And Brother Randy, we appreciate you and thank you so much for coming to minister to us.
That's all, good night. You know how it is, you'll be sitting in the congregation and all of a sudden you'll think, I need to do that. This is what I need to do. Get something here. A couple of people would pass out some stuff. Tim, I made 30 of each of these.
Okay.
So go as far as I go, but I think everybody really needs to get one.
Okay.
So if we run out, hold on the last copy and maybe make some copies.
Are these different sheets?
They're different sheets, correct. Just before we get started, I'll just give an idea of how this started to become and came to fruition. We have an extra sheet if you run out over here. A while back, a few months ago now, a little shindig that the Keens were giving, I started talking with Richard Collier, who many of you know. And we had somehow gone the subject of, you know, Greek and kind of brushing over it a little bit. And he mentioned that, you know, it'd be nice to kind of do something like that. And I said, well, you know, if it ever comes up, maybe I'll just volunteer to teach something like that. And he says, yeah, we could, you know, kind of go for that. And got on, as the night wore on, I saw Tim over in the corner. He came a few minutes, you know, a little while after Richard and I had been there. And went over and talked to Tim and asked him about the idea. He said, yeah, sounds good. So I put together a proposal, sent it to him, and it was basically that easy. I do not pretend to be a Greek scholar. I'll say that by way of introduction before we pray and get into the lesson. What I have learned is, and what I'm entitling this class, we're going to call it Beginner's Greek, or if you care to, probably more appropriate title might even be Devotional Greek. It is something that we're going to go through, and I'll do that a little more formally here in a minute. Just some basics that are going to help you with your Bible study. They'll help you with your, I think, your spiritual walk and your devotional life. If you want to take it further, I mean, it is as limitless as the heavens, okay? You can take this as far as you want. But what this is intended to do is kind of just get us started and maybe whet your interest and your appetite just a little bit and for maybe a deeper study of God's Word. So we okay on copies?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's pray real quick, and then we'll get into a little more of the meat of this. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the people that are gathered here tonight, and just praise you, Lord, for Jesus. Lord, we realize that many things have come together throughout the course of history that you have brought together, Lord, to allow your plan to be. Father, we pray that as we work through this study that we will come to appreciate some of these things and the way that you have worked things out, Father. Lord, we pray for grace for the speaker and the hearers today, Lord. Father, we pray that everything done today would be done in a spirit of fellowship and love, Lord, for the glory of your name and that we would please you. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother, is this on? Did we leave this on?
Okay.
It is. I've taken as a theme verse for this Deuteronomy 29:29, which is a little unusual, but I'm going to read it to you and we'll just discuss it for a moment or two. It tells us the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. There are many things throughout the course of life that we have found that are, we just don't know. And, you know, scientists, philosophers, theologians, thinkers, however you care to phrase it, go through life trying to figure these things out. And some of them, I'm convinced, God has kept in the recesses of his heart and is not going to tell us. But what the verse that we have just studied and read shows us is that there are many things that have been revealed to us. But they're not just revealed to us just because. They're revealed to us to us and our children forever, that we may do the words of this law. They're not revealed just as a gee whiz thing. They are revealed so that we, in furthering our knowledge of the Word of God and of things of Him, can become, in a sense, if you want to use my paraphrase of it, more obedient to the Word and to things that have, that God has chosen to reveal to us. And I think you could spend the rest of your lives studying what is in the book, in the Word of God, and never exhaust everything that is in here. And, many people have devoted their lives to this, and we sit at the feet of some of these, people week after week and, year after year, and, we read their works and things like this, and they will even admit that, there's some things a lot of things they just don't know. They speculate, they ponder, they philosophize. So that's our challenge through here, is as we pick up a little bit of knowledge, working knowledge of the original language of the manuscripts of the Bible, to take this and be able to apply some of this to our lives, to our daily studies, to make us more obedient. Okay? Some of the things we're going to look at, keeping Deuteronomy 29:29 in mind, one of the things I want to cover is what the class is. Okay? Class is intended as an introduction to the Greek language. Some of the things we're going to study are going to be alphabet. We're going to go through that tonight. Vocabulary. We may play with a little bit of that tonight, but we'll get into that as the weeks go on. Verb tenses, things like this. Noun declensions. And some basic, very basic exegesis of maybe just a sentence or two, a verse or two in 1 John, something like that, on the last week, just to kind of get us used to working with it. Okay, Greek is not structured like English. How many of you people have had a Greek 101 or higher? And if you've gone through that, there's some things in the Greek that we're going to look at that are not like the English. There are things in English that we place great value upon. For example, word order, that are virtually meaningless in the Greek. Okay, the Greek language, the Koine Greek, revolves around the verbs, and that is where everything comes together. So, for an example, we'll get into that in a couple of weeks when we start getting that far. We want to make you a better student of the Word. That is the key. That's, if you had to have a mission statement, that would be it. It's to increase our knowledge. It is not for gee whiz type stuff. It's not so you can play games with each other or, kind of show off a little bit. That kind of happens. Have some fun with it, But, don't take yourselves too seriously with us. We're not going to come out of here as Greek scholars, gang. It is, as we mentioned earlier, to do and obey the Word of God. It is to increase our diligence. Trust me, gang, there is nothing like struggling through the book of Hebrews one Greek word at a time, being a lousy Greek student, to really appreciate the nuances that the human authors of the Holy Scriptures put into the words as they were guided by the Holy Spirit. These words mean something. It's a good time to interject a couple of things about meanings. I've thought of, as a point of illustration, two examples of how important it is to get proper meaning in words. Okay, the Greek, I believe, was chosen at this point in time, among other things, and we know God is sovereign, we accept that going in, but we look back over history and we see how God works things in, okay? Because the Greek language was alive, beautiful, full of nuances that you change a letter or the way a word or a sentence was structured and it changed the whole meaning and it really brought things out. In the last week or so, we've had a couple of examples I can think of. One tragic the other, not so tragic, quite humorous, where people have gotten these wrong. The first one we can think of was the Sago mine disaster in West Virginia. Initial reports come out, 12 survivors, one dead. Within 2 or 3 hours, sorry, gang, a little bit of a problem here. Reverse that. Tragic consequences. If we can imagine the hope, you know, that the people in the church and the town got built up only to have it taken out from under them. How much more tragic, though, is something of an eternal consequence? Basing a doctrine or a belief on the Word of God over something that we thought was so, in turn to find out toward the end of our lives or wherever that, you know, this wasn't the way it was, and we've been living all of our lives with false assumptions and false hopes, if you will. Not hopes based on the Word of God. The Word of God, strongly feels a true hope, but false hopes in the way that maybe we have lived our lives. We've either missed a wonderful truth of God or we have misappropriated a falsehood. And that would be tragic if at the end of our lives. Even more tragic if somebody missed salvation, for example, by missing a small thing. The other example of how important it is a little more humorous, I hope. I was in Alabama last week. I was taking care of some stuff with my father's estate and with my mom and was driving back to the airport in Birmingham. And I usually tune into National Public Radio and listen to Car Talk, which is a pretty humorous program about, well, among other things, cars, but just other stuff. But after that, there was a little news program that came on that was called Wait, Don't Tell Me, which was kind of a lighthearted look at news. This being the first week in the year, they were going over a recap of the best episodes from 2005. Now, this is where the Greek comes in. There has been, and if most of you look in the book of Revelations under the, and I forget the chapter and verse, but where it talks about the number of the beast is 666, 666, and depending on your translation how it's written. And you might have a little footnote that say some textual variants say 616. You know, this is not a surprise. People have known about this for, you know, hundreds of years, but it's, you know, it's there. Apparently, this came into the news a little bit last year, during the last year. So, an exposition was being given, and they had some fun with it, and they said, oh, that's why we can't, that's why the Antichrist hasn't come, that's why Satan hasn't revealed himself. You know, he's been waiting for a call from area code 666, and all this time it was 616, and they were just kind of having some fun with it. 616 happened to be the area code for Ann Arbor, Michigan. Okay, the people that were doing this were doing a presentation in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and they said they were picking fun on, I think it was Kalamazoo, but I'm just going to pull a name out of my hat here and say, you know, this is Kalamazoo, Michigan, up the road. Yeah, that's where the Antichrist is. You know, go see him. And then next week they got into Kalamazoo and said, we understand there's been a problem. 616 really wasn't the area code for Ann Arbor, Kalamazoo. It was, however, the area code for Grand Rapids. So, as the lecturer was giving his lecture, okay, he says, don't worry about the Antichrist, he is not here. However, we do know the Antichrist is in Grand Rapids, Michigan today. And the crowd was standing ovation, applause, all the rest of this, and they just went wild. They thought this was great. What was the problem with that? Well, guess who was speaking in Grand Rapids, Michigan that day? The President of the United States. And unbeknownst to the people that were giving the presentation, okay? Gang, as part of what we try to do here, when we study the languages, we study the word, we try to get it right, okay? And I just tell these stories to kind of, you know, maybe emphasize a little bit the importance of that, okay? So, any questions so far? Everybody got a sheet? Okay, what we're going to do today is simply go through the alphabet. We might put a few simple words together, okay? Now let me finish the rest of this real quick. Okay, what we're not, let me back up, strike that from the tape. Okay, what the class is not, we've already covered some of this, it's not a thorough exposition or exegesis, it's starting point only, okay? Not to make us know-it-alls, is not to answer all our questions, believe it or not, gang, indeed, may present more questions than answers. Please, guys, it's not a chance to play stump the chump or what do you do with whatever verse it is you have or, you know, have your little doctrinal sticking point on. It's, you know, not really kind of set up for that, okay? Each week, we're going to start with an overview like we're doing now, probably not as long, in a short introductory lesson that is designed to emphasize the significance of the lesson series. You know, we might go just a little brief thing of how the Greek language came to be at this point in time, that kind of stuff. And we'll kind of make it up as we go along. We'll have some fun with it, okay? Week one, that is tonight. We're going to go through the introduction that we're just now wrapping up. We're going to go through the alphabet. We're going to go through principles, just a few basic principles. Week two, we're going to do alphabet review and start working on vocabulary, words. Week three, January 25th, we're going to continue with vocabulary, do an introduction to verbs. Week four, we're going to finish up a little bit on verbs, do an introduction to nouns. Week five, the last week, February 8th, we're going to take a simple exegesis, probably from 1 John chapter 1, do a few verses there, see as far as we get, and just wrap up, okay? Things you're going to need through the course of the little class series. You're going to need some kind of note paper and something to write with. We can kind of get by without it tonight, but, you know, through the course of it, you're going to want this. That's why I made some fairly wide margins, put a lot of space in these others. How many schoolers have this? You know what these are? Let me unfold them a little bit. Them your Big Chief writing tablets from a long time ago. If you've got them in the basement, they really come in handy because they kind of duplicate what we're going to be doing here. Okay? And you'll get home and you'll get a chance to practice just a little bit. You'll get a lot more from the class if you're able to practice a little bit. The last thing is you may or may not want to get are some little note cards. And what we usually do, these are kind of yellow. They've been a while. You'll have, for example, here is the letter Greek nu. In the back it tells you how to write it in lowercase and a typical word. And you can write that for yourself with whatever you want to use and kind of drill yourself at home however you want to. We also made several with the being verbs, future tenses, and there's about 40 or 50 of them here, okay? You can kind of look through them if you want when the class is over and kind of get an idea for that. Hopefully by the time we're all done with the class, you'll have an idea of how to work this and kind of what you want to do and where you want to go with it. If you'll take up your sheets that everybody was given, you will notice we've got these kind of subdivided in major groupings with just some thicker lines, you know, between them, a little more space rather. I found that as you memorize this, and it's a good idea to do that, okay, just the sounds and what we go over, and we'll have, by the end of the night, you'll have enough working knowledge with this to know what you're memorizing. It's easier to break them up into smaller groups, okay? Like this first group, the alpha through the epsilon. Memorize that group and then kind of go on to the rest of them, okay? And as you work that, pretty soon you'll be able to kind of think of them in little groups and it kind of makes your memory a little bit easier. That's how I was taught to do it. It seemed to work for our class. You may have a memorization technique, children, that you can teach your parents, because you're all so much better at this than we are, that might actually work for you better. So if you have one like that, by all means, feel free to share it with each other and kind of see where we can go with it, okay? Another thing I like to do is change colors throughout. So if this gets a little hard to see, let me know. Okay, we're just going to, no rocket science. We're going to go through this and we're going to discuss a little bit and kind of draw them up here, okay? This is where the note cards, the writing paper, and the Big Chief tablets come in handy, all right? First letter. Anybody care to guess what it is? A, which is? Alpha. How many guys have heard of that? Yeah. Now, if you look at, one thing we're going to not do here, gang, is we're not going to waste a lot of time on uppercase letters. The reason being, as you go through the Greek New Testament, the only time they're used is in proper names. And sometimes at the beginning of sentences, sometimes not. And you'll learn to recognize them pretty quickly. Okay? So we're going to spend, 99% of your exegesis is going to be all lowercase. That's why we cut through the chase here and we don't waste a lot of time with uppercase. So you just saved your time already. Alpha, if you look at it on the paper here in the script, the way it's written, you will also see it written like this, kind of like the sign of the fish. It's supposed to fill this up a little bit more. You'll also see this like that, just like our A. Okay? Everybody say after me, Alpha.
Alpha.
Okay? And it's pronounced A as in cat. Okay? Like A. Or Father, the short, long and short versions of them. We'll get to that a little bit later on. So it's an A or ah sound, okay? It doesn't have an A sound as we know it. It's an A or ah. So there's no really no A sound in there, okay? Next, we're going to take a look at the beta sound. You notice the tail here goes underneath your line just a little bit. So when you're writing this at home on your Big Chief tablets, keep this in mind. This tail kind of goes up, and the B kind of goes up a little bit higher, all right? And it's beta. Say beta.
Beta.
Beta. And it's B, B, as in bat. Okay? That's pretty simple. We got a handle on that so far? Good to go. Okay. Next one's a little trickier. This is gamma. This kind of goes down a little bit, all right? And it's G as in bag, just a solid, a hard G sound, G, gamma, okay? There's a little different sound with this I'm going to bring up. Sometimes you will see it like this. And that's pronounced as an ng, okay? As an angle. So if you see this written somewhere, for example, we have a familiar word here. We already have part of that, ang. Okay, as we get on, angelos. I mean, you guys know what that is?
Angels.
Angels, yeah, or messengers. And that's, now you can start to see how some of this comes together just a little bit. Jumping ahead of myself, but. And you'll see that pretty frequently, this double gamma sound. Next one, and some of these get a little harder as you draw them along, okay? And some of these are never quite mastered. That is the delta. Say delta,
delta.
As in, now, y'all don't tell me, somebody, the first one to get this letter wins the prize. What would that letter be?
Delta.
Yeah, what's the difference?
Capital.
You see what I mean? We don't waste a lot of time in the capitals. That's kind of why. You can kind of look at them and figure them out, okay? Let me see here.
Oh, sure, I had that one figured out.
Yeah, that one you got figured out. Okay. Yeah. That's a poor... Not to be confused with this Delta, that's the Delta Airlines widget. Okay? Please don't confuse us with that, okay?
You wouldn't have had the show,
but now you're stuck with it. But you'll remember that. Yeah. Huh? But you'll remember that. Yeah. And the song, the sound for Delta, the letter Delta is D as in dog that we all know and love. D. Just a D. Not duh. Okay? But D. Just a hard D sound. Next one. Shorthand version, epsilon. Say epsilon.
Epsilon.
Epsilon. Okay. And it's a short E as in bet. Okay. And that's the first little grouping. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon. And then you're just kind of, that's your A, B, C, D, E, basically. Except that's not really a C, it's more of a G, but that's the way the Greeks put it. Okay. That's your first little five grouping. Any questions so far? See? See how far we've gotten? You knew more than you thought. See, we knew angelos, okay? We knew, you know, a little bit about this. We knew that the Delta Airlines widget is not the same thing as the Delta in Greek. And we found out a little bit about these. Now, you guys, how many of you guys have watched the Weather Channel? And you notice what they've gone through, and we've gone through the start of the Greek alphabet and O5 or tropical storms, and now you know what they know. Okay? So we're going to start with a new line. See how this works out. This one is a little different. A little harder to draw, too. This is a zeta. Say zeta.
Zeta.
And it has a z sound. Okay? A kind of a dz. And the word that they give you, and this is ads. And that's the one I chose to use also, just because we don't have a lot in that sound. Okay? The Greeks used it more often, obviously, than we did. But they have the zeta, that is a z sound. Next one is the eta sound. This one we get into a little more stuff that we know. Yeah, it didn't come out quite the way I wanted it to. I'm finding if you think about this, it's not as hard. It's harder, rather. You make it harder yourself. That's the shorthand for eta, okay? This is a long E sound, almost an A sound, depending on how they choose to call it. And it's an E as in obey. So that's the closest. Remember we said the alpha did not have an A sound like we know? This picks up here, and the eta sound is considered... It looks on like a lowercase z if you're trying to draw it, yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you'll see, this is you trying to draw it shorthand, sometimes that'll be out a little bit further. And it's pronounced as an A, but it's considered a long E in the Greek. Yeah.
Maybe on my paper, it doesn't show that leaf at the end, like the Y. Under
like this one here?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a shorthand. The shorthand is a little different. I mean, I'm sorry, the longhand version, if you're just writing it out. For example, we have this up here, and that's a little different, and that's also a little more of how it's drawn. But if you type it, it'll look just like this. If you're drawing it, it'll look really like this. It's kind of like looking at your Romans, 12-point Romans font and pitch, for example, on your word processor or computer. But then when you actually start writing, it looks quite a bit different. That's kind of the way it is here. The way it's written here is a little more formal, but as you write them out to the side, they're going to look a little more kind of like what you're working it with here. That's probably it's not a shorthand as we know it, but it's just little hieroglyphic symbols. It's handwriting, yeah, your font. So, did that answer your question? Kind of? Okay. Okay, and the sound is E as in obey. It's almost an A sound, okay? And we would consider that, for Greek purposes, a long E. Next one is a theta.
Easier way to do this.
When you draw the theta, it usually comes out like that. You just make a circle and then bisect the circle. And that's how, when you're drawing this out, it's going to make the theta sound. It's a th. Everybody said theta?
Theta.
It's a th, as in thunk or think, any standard TH sound. Okay? Next one's a little different. You think you know this. Okay? And the handwriting is a simple, just a stroke, and bring the bottom lower right in a little bit. Okay? And it is pronounced, anybody care to think?
Iota.
Iota. Mm-hmm. Iota. So I had a little confusion. How many times do you hear iota?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not iota. Yeah, it's iota. Iota. We clear on iotas? On Yodas? If you want to think of it as Yoda, that's okay. Yeah, it's going to be an I. There's two different ones because it can be long or short. I as in sit, okay, or as in mezzanine, hence the iota. It wouldn't be mezzanine. You would say mezzanine, for example, and iota is the pronunciation in Greek. So it's going to be an E or an I sound. It won't be an I sound as we know it, with rare exceptions. The next one is a kappa, and you'll see this written a couple of ways, and it's just like a K. Sometimes it'll have a longer string on the top, okay? Prefer to use the shorter one. Any mystery to this one? It's a K. It's a really hard K sound, as in kite, all right? That is our second major grouping of the letters, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa. Okay, so we've got two major groupings, alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, then zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa. Any questions so far? Now, if you notice, back to the theta, for example, it's a th sound. This is where you start to realize that our order of the alphabet is a little different. Where do you think a th sound would come in English? Yeah, down by T. Mm-hmm. Here it's... a little bit more. It's almost where the H would be. Now, this is where it's nice to interject a few things, guys. How many Koine Greek language speakers are there in the world today that speak as a native language? There aren't any. Okay, this is a dead language. Okay? That's why you don't get it. This will, if you pick up the alphabet, you'll be able to go maybe to Greece and read a road sign, okay, and pronounce it and kind of figure out what they're talking about as far as you're going to get with it. All right. Modern Greek has a few letters that aren't used here, okay, and this some of the pronunciations and changes on this are educators' and scholars' best scientific guesses. All right. We know if we find a Greek primer, for example, that this is the order that this was in. Why they put it here? Did this originally in Paleo Greek, if there is such a thing, have more of an H sound than a TH sound? Perhaps it did. Perhaps that's why it's there. Maybe that will help you make the correlation a little bit. At the end of the day, this is all said and done. What we're doing here, and a lot of this is precision guesswork. Okay. But it's precision guesswork that has, one, stood the test of time and has really helped with exegesis of Scripture because it's been consistent throughout the years. Okay, there have not been inconsistencies found that all of a sudden are going to completely ruin our paradigm for how we look at the Greek language. The structure of it, what we know of it, has stayed the same and has been proven over and over and again through millennium now. So don't let minor questions about, oh, why is this T sound way up here instead of back where we would expect to find the rest of it, really upset you, because there could be a chance that once upon a time in history this actually had more of an H sound than the T sound to it. Okay, that's a speculation on my part. And it might be entirely incorrect, and who knows?
Makes you wonder why our alphabet's
the way it is, yeah. Yeah. And I don't pretend to be a linguist, guys, but if any of you guys are, you can feel free to come up and answer the question, because I kind of like to know sometimes. Any questions before we go on our next major grouping? You okay? Have you fallen asleep yet?
No.
Okay. Next one we're going to look at. Was there a question, or was that just a... Oh, just my... I'm used to that. Okay. Next one we have is lambda, which is the L sound. And it's kind of a, I don't know how to describe it, backwards, kind of a...
Upside down Y.
Yeah, upside down Y, backwards K with something missing. Yeah, it's a lambda. Say lambda.
Lambda.
Lambda. And it's L as in Leroy. Your simple saying, yes, ma'am. No, only when you're saying, so if you were just saying, if you're saying zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, you would pronounce it like that. But as you're just saying it in a word structure, you would say, like L as in Leroy, love, anything like that. Okay, next one is moo. This one, the tail comes down a little bit. And sometimes you'll see it, it'll be written like that. And it's a moo. That's the M sound. Say moo. 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 Okay. M as in monkey. That's your M sound. Next one we have is new. This is almost like a V. It's the N sound. N as in narrow. Okay, say new.
New.
New. Yeah. And it's N as in narrow. And here's a good time to interject something else. You will see throughout, as you do more reading in Greek, you'll come to a sentence, and there'll be a small word, either a small itty bitty connecting word or something like that, and the word will look normal, except it will have a new at the end of it, and it'll throw you, okay? And what scholars have found is that this is what they call a floating new. Okay? It is a floating new. The reason they put it in there is the Greeks had this thing about symmetry and beauty. And there are times, and you'll see them, I can't think of any right now, I'll try to come up with something in the next 4.5 weeks. There are times in the reading of the Greek sentence where a particular reading is a little awkward. So what the Greeks did is at the end of a short connecting little word, they would put a new. And it would make the word flow a little better. And that's the only purpose it served. But it's called a floating new. And you'll look at it and you'll think, And sometimes it'll be in the verb or something, and you're looking and you have your verb stem, then you have your verb ending that is going to tell you the tense of the verb, okay? And then you have this new at the end of it that throws you all off. And you start looking at it, and that's a floating new. And it was put in there because a lot of times look at the next letter, and you usually start with a vowel, or the next word rather. And it's, you know, to them it sounded a little better just to you know, as you're reading it, to go na than for example. If you put the new at the end of a word that ended in a vowel, if you had, for example, another word that started with a vowel, it would start off ana instead of It just sounded better to them. That's why they did it. But it can throw you off. I mean, kind of bizarre, but I'm sure we could think of some things.
That sounds to me like where we would have gotten the word an, a-n.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than saying orange, it sounds weird.
An orange. There you go. Yeah. It could be. Yeah, we have our fluting in. There you go. And it means the same thing, you know, a singular orange, but the difference. Yeah. Question? Okay, next one we have. This one's a little difficult to draw. You're going to have to practice a lot with this, and I have not mastered it. Okay? There are two ways of doing this. The first is the lazy way.
Oh, I like that.
Show us that one.
Look at the one on, this is the Z, okay? That's the lazy way. Just make a big uppercase epsilon, okay? And that's the lazy way. I don't know that I've ever seen this officially recognized by any Greek scholarly organization, not that I'm a member of any. The second one is a little rougher. You're going to start off here, then go through here. That's as best as I've ever done, gang, okay? It's a big fancy E with a big tail on the bottom of it. You look confused, sister.
My dad told me in his normal writing, I just thought he wrote straight.
Oh, okay. I don't know. This is the Z sound. Okay? There's the X, as in relax. And it's going to be hard to kind of get a handle on, but that's the X sound. So if you're seeing a sentence, it comes in as an X. I'm sorry?
Like a capital Zeta.
Yeah, that's the lowercase one.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the lowercase one.
And how is it pronounced again?
It's the X sound.
It's
the
name of it.
That's a Z. X-I-Z.
Oh, okay.
Or if you really want to, but I can't really quite get that one.
I said like xylophone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, and that is the second little grouping, lambda, mu, nu, z. So if you take this, lambda, mu, nu, and the lazy z and the more expressive z. If you use this in a sentence, be sure you differentiate it from this, okay, by making it bigger. If you're writing, for example, and you'll see, you know, teachers do this all the time. They'll just start writing, and their writing's going to look like this or worse. So it gets worse from here, guys. Yes, worse than this. Any questions here? Okay. Let me erase the top line. We're going to go at it again. Okay, next little group starts with Omicron. Sounds like something from Star Trek, you know, Armicron rays or something like that. And it is just your simple O. And it's a long O, kind of something. O can be long. Oh, short O is an O-ter. O is an A-A sound, okay? Everybody say Omicron. Omicron. And the O is an A-ter. Okay? There's another one you may have thought you known. We've seen this one, haven't we? How would you pronounce it? However, how's it spelled? P-I. So, and in what would that I sound be in Greek? E. So its pronunciation is going to be more along the lines of P. Exactly. Yeah. And it's just a simple P sound, as in P, just a hard P sound. Okay? But it's There's two things that, you know, you hear mispronounced all the time, every iota of the law, you know, and pi r not square, pi r round. Well, it's p, and it's iota, so. Absolutely, yeah. See, and you wasted all this time, you know, when you could have been watching TV at home, channel surfing. Or picking on a teacher, right. Mm-hmm. Okay, next one is, easier, looks like a p, right? This is where it gets confusing. That's a P. That's not a P. No, that's an R. That's your R sound. It's a rho. Everybody say rho. Now, there's a reason the H is in there, okay? It's because we notice the word I picked was the R as in roads. There's a little H sound, a little glottal in the back of your throat as you're pronouncing this. So it wouldn't be like Randy, for example. It would be roads. You're just kind of breathing a little bit. If you try to pronounce it, you'll blow it, okay? But if you just say Rhodes and just kind of breathe it out, you'll kind of get it, okay? That's the little difference in there. This one now, there's the same. The next one is the same same letter, but depending on how it's used, all right? First one we have, like an O with a little tail on it, all right? If you want to think of it as the little bombs from cartoons. And this is the fuse, all right? So
that's cursive O.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, or cursive O. I always like, I'm a guy. I always thought it was the bull bomb in the cartoon, okay? And then there's a couple of ways of doing this. The fancy way, okay, or the lazy way. I like the lazy way better. After all, I'm a guy, okay?
Exactly like
Jada. Hmm? Yeah, it does. But depending on the usage, I'll double check that. But that's the one that they had in the when I went through this. But as you draw it, as you see it, if you look at it as the S sound in the middle, that's that'll kind of keep out. I'll double check that and make sure that we got it right for next week. But I'm pretty sure that's, I looked at that, I remember double checking this before, I was like, yeah, you're right, it looks exactly like Zeta. This is the sigma, okay, everybody say sigma.
Sigma.
Sigma. And the difference is, in the middle of the word, you will use it as this, okay, a little bomb, or the cursive O, and in the end of the word, you'll use it as the flowing more S, the almost actually like Zeta, okay. And if I got this wrong, I'll correct it next week, but I think I've gone over this. And it's just an S sound. It's pronounced the same way. Yes, sir?
So then would you not see Zeta in your work?
Can't tell you. I would say never say never. Okay? Because if I told you you wouldn't, guess what? You're going to be going. It'll be the first one you look at, and whatever book you happen to be looking at, you'll find it. So I wouldn't say never. Okay? It's a simple S sound. Just S, as in sick, snake, S. Anything else, okay? Next one is the tau. Tau. And the best way to draw it is like draw a little, a straight T, you know, kind of straight, with a little art umbrella over it. Okay, that's when you're drawing this out. And it's a T sound. T is in Taz, Tango, any hard T sound. Okay? And the final one, this little grouping, is the upsilon or upsilon. You can say it either way. I've heard it pronounced both ways, and nobody's really corrected. It's one of the areas they're not, this particular one, they're not too picky on. Okay? U is in unit. It's a long sound. So I pronounce it upsilon, but upsilon when I get lazy. Okay? It's a U. Everybody say upsilon?
Upsilon.
Just say upsilon, just to give equal time. Upsilon. And it's a U. A long U is in unit. Okay? And there's our next grouping, a little bit longer. Omicron, P, Rho, Sigma, Tau, Upsilon. Okay? Next grouping. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry? P? It is the P, yeah. P is in P. Mm-hmm. Not pi, it's a... Right. Okay, the next one's a little trickier, because in some ways, not that any of this isn't. Okay, the next one, these are kind of almost some of these are kind of compound. You'll see what I mean as I go through them. The next one, this is a phi, okay? And you'll see it drawn several ways. If you look at it here, drawn like this, you'll also see it drawn like that, okay? Where people are just writing it out and all that. They're pretty much interchangeable. The temptation is to kind of wander over and get lazy with it, and then it almost looks like a row. All right? So you got to make sure that you neatly bisect this little orb here in order to make sense out of it. Kids, this is where you can help your parents, because us parents have had 30 years, sometimes longer, of bad handwriting habits. So as we sit down with our big chief writing tablets over the next week, which I know you all do diligently, and start to write these out, we're going to have a tendency to get lazy and lazier with this. And young people, this is where you can help us out by reminding us to neatly bisect, okay, and color within the lines. And that will actually help us, though, and it'll help you as when you start to get into this a little more. And if you just want to write out a Greek phrase or word, you'll be able to write it out correctly, and the person on the other end of the receiving end, because remember how important communications is to get it right, will be able to understand what you're talking about.
So, Randy?
Yes, sir.
So if I wanted to write a letter to my wife, I would just put two of those symbols at the beginning of the page.
I'm sorry? These here? Fifi? Yeah. Yeah, that would work. And then kind of a shorthand of your own. That way you're saving a letter. Okay, everybody say fee.
Fee.
Fi. Foe. Thumb. Oh, got it. No, oh, that was the wrong one. Okay. Fee is a PH sound as in phantom. It's a little more compound than what we have, okay? So.
Hey, no having fun.
Oh, I'm sorry. Next one, this one's a little easier to draw. As you're drawing it, just make an X. It's pronounced key. Key. Everybody say key.
Key.
Key. And it's a hard CH sound as in chemical. Okay? Next one. How many guys took any psychology class in 101? And this little symbol here, maybe you had that in college?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's pronounced psi. Yeah, kind of a psi or C if you get real lazy. But, you know, psi. And it's pronounced as a ps, as in sips, as it's a ps sound. Okay? And you'll see this, you know, fairly often in Greek. Last one, we all know, guys. This is a lazy, sloppy W. Yeah, not that sloppy. Yeah, it was pretty sloppy, gang. It's a guy W. This one is omega. It's a long O sound, as in loner. It's omega.
Omega.
Okay? And as we've seen going through here, we had the first one, which was what? Alpha and omega. And y'all, you've heard that many times before. Now, this is our fourth major grouping. Phi, chi, psi, and omega. The first three are a little different. They have a little different sound to them, okay? Now, let's go through these again. Everybody repeat after me. We're going to start at the very beginning. Now, as you leave today and go home, hold on to this. We're going to be doing some handouts as we go through. And I'll double-check some of the stuff on it, but I'm sure we've looked at it before. Go through that and take these and some of what we've done up here. Hopefully you've been drawing on the side, because as any language, what you actually write out in longhand or shorthand form is going to be a little different than the printed standard version. If you open your Greek New Testament, what you see is going to be largely what's on here. You're not going to see the scribblings that we've put up here, okay? But you're going to see what's largely on this page. By the way, a couple of other things I'm going to show to you real quick before we go through our last little review. And you'll see these all the way throughout the scripture. Now notice where we have had our lines drawn. And we have the upper little line here. Sometimes, and it's usually, but not always, at the beginning of a word. But not always, you'll have a little mark like this. Okay? It's not on your page. You'll need to draw it in. That is what we call a rough breathing mark. And it is generally pronounced as a H. Okay? So, if you had... if you had something like this, it would be Hellenis. Hellenis.
Say it again.
Hellenis. You ever heard of Hellenistic? That's kind of where it comes from. The old Greek did not have that simple H little sound. It was this. It was a rough breathing mark. It was pronounced a H. Okay? Don't confuse that with this. Looks like Greek to you. This is the rough breathing mark. This is what we call a smooth breathing mark. All this is a placeholder. That's a placeholder. Think of it as a placeholder. Like, I'm sorry? Like a space or even an apostrophe. It is not pronounced.
Like a comma?
Yeah. Yeah. This is not pronounced. That's why it's important to remember, because they're, if you look at them, they're backwards. One of them's like a C, the other one's like a backwards C. You will see those as you're going through. They're almost letters, but they're not. All right, and they're simply pronounced. They're simply used as breathing marks or hold or space holders. This is the rough mark. This is the smooth mark. The rough is pronounced. The smooth is silent. Okay, you'll see that as you go through the text. All right, something else you will see if you ever as you go through the text. Okay, at the end of a sentence, this is the biggest one I remember. What do we normally call this? Yeah. Not so in the Greek text. Of course not. It's a question mark. So you will see that as you're going through, and at the end of the sentence, you'll see this, and that is how the translators chose to put the question mark in. Now, it's not in Greek manuscripts. The translators put it in there to... For whatever, why they didn't do that is Greek to me. I don't know, okay? That would be, yeah, too easy. Or maybe they were doing that because we pick this up and we read it and translate it in English. If a Russian was doing it, does that have the same meaning in Russian? I don't know. Okay, I mean, I'm ignorant to that. Could be... When they translated the Greek New Testament, you notice they just, you know, all this is Greek, and some of the footnotes are in English, but it could be perhaps they had an international language more in mind. You know, I don't know. I don't know the minds of the translation committees or anything else. But as you see that and you start looking at that, you think, we didn't cover that letter in Greek class? Well, yeah, there's a good reason for that. It's not a letter. It's just a, you know, it's thought of as a question mark. It is supplied by the translators, by the people that transcribe this. The modern translators, not the original Greek manuscript translators. Yes, ma'am.
So in the original Greek, there aren't any marks like...
There is no punctuation.
Punctuation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's just spaces in between words.
Sometimes not even that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Those spacers.
These here? Yeah, and some manuscripts have those and some don't. We'll get into this a little more in the next couple of weeks, maybe, but there's a whole family of Greek manuscripts called minuscules. Okay? The minuscules are entirely in lowercase, for example, and there is no spacing whatsoever between words, phrases, sentences, anything. So this is exactly what it sounds like. You know, they are just taking, and if you were to read this, it would just look like a bunch of Greek letters strung together. Okay, but how do you translate that? Well, you take, for example, we have this word here, Hellenis. And you know that at the end of this is the end of that word, unless you have, you know, a T, I'm not sure how an I would be, we'll just put the iota in, and, you know, Hellenistis or something like that. You know, just making that up. But you would take over a course of time and figure out where these words began and ended. You could do the same thing with English, though, guys. I mean, trust me, you all know English, you use it, you know, Bobby, how'd you get a D in English? You speak it. Well, I mean, but we don't know how it's often put together, all right? But if you were to take any book and just start stringing the words together, give it to somebody to translate and to read, they could make it out, because they've worked with the language all their lives, and they know that, you know, A and D spells and D Y spells and D, and, you know, they could kind of make it out. The Greeks would do the same thing. Why they did this, who knows? I mean, you know, art and style and calligraphy and all that goes through phases, and it has all through history. Some things are constant. So I'm going to review this, and then we're pretty much done for the night. All right. Just repeat after me as we go through the letters, guys, and just kind of get them in your mind. We've got the first major grouping is Alpha. Beta, Gamma, Delta, Epsilon. Okay, memorize that group and try and go on to the next one, okay? Zeta, Eta, Theta, Iota, Kappa. Zeta, Eta, Theta, Iota, Kappa. Zeta, Eta, Theta, Iota, Kappa. See, this is easier than it looks. Lambda, Mu, Nu, Z. Lambda, Mu, Nu, Z. Make a word out of it. Make it fun. You can, Lambda, Mu, Nu, Z. Next little gang. Omicron, P, Rho, Sigma, Tau, Upsilon. A little longer. Kind of harder to get that one out, but we've only left one of them there. So, and the next one, Phi, Chi, Psi, Omega. Phi, Chi, Psi. You have all of them. They have that E sound at the end. The last one is Omega, which Alpha and Omega, you can kind of throw that on there, and there's your little memory trick. Guys, like I'm telling you, whatever works for you in this, you know, make it work for you. Because I guarantee you, as you go through, and then you'll start to read your Bible, you'll start to look at your footnotes, and you'll see somebody where they've used a Greek phrase, and that will start to come alive to you. Okay? You'll be able to work this out and say, wow, that is really significant how they translated that in there. Okay? Here's one I picked up. This is from Tim, thank God for you, a couple of months ago. You were preaching, you were hitting on the subject. Somehow, I think Barnabas came up, and I was looking through the Greek New Testament, and the Greek term for Barnabas, the English term for Barnabas, when he first introduced, is something similar to son of consolation. Okay, you guys remember that? That's more of a King James phrase. I think it's in some of the others. The word in the Greek is the same word, parakletos. Does that ring a bell with anybody? What is that? Where have you heard that? Yeah, one called alongside it. Who's it said in John referring to? The Holy Spirit, using the same phrase to refer to Barnabas. You're not saying Barnabas is the Holy Spirit. Okay, don't get me wrong. But he's using the same Greek word as one called alongside, a comforter, an advocate, to refer to Barnabas. All of a sudden, Barnabas becomes much more real to us. Okay? And that's kind of what I'm hoping that this, and that's what I'm calling devotional or beginner's Greek, and, you know, depending on which word you have less trouble with, will depend on how you call it. That's some of what we want to do with this over the next 4 weeks now. Do we have any questions over what we covered tonight, gang? Anything? I think we can, we can do this. Okay? It's, yes, sir.
When you see, like, commentators or like Tim and Sean, when they were saying the Greek word, upotasso or whatever, that when you see that, is that phonetically changed?
Usually, yeah. Usually it's a transliteration. Now, I can't speak for, you know, for Tim or Sean, for example, because I don't know how their study aids work. But usually it's kind of is transliterated to some degree. But you can take, you know, like this word here and spell it out in English, and it looks pretty much like it sounds in the Greek. Yeah. So, you know, there's really, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's
Yeah. And then, though, when you write it out, you might not choose to write that pronunciation out as it comes from the Strong's. You might choose to paraphrase it a little bit. I've seen people do that, too. It just depends on the taste of the individual, you know, teacher as they're going through it. So to answer your question, yes and no.
Yeah, sometimes in my studies, I have enough trouble pronouncing any word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
I was just curious on the Hellenist.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, when I hear Hellenist,
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know if I wanted to use the iota or the ace. I was just kind of spelling this off the top of my head. It may not even be correct. Okay, I was using this kind of as an example, more or less for the rough breathing mark, because we have the H, and modern Greek has an H. Koine Greek did not. Just had a rough.
That's kind of what they use for the A for that.
Yeah, well, it would be pronounced. That's our best guess, is that how it would be pronounced.
Actually, you gave that translation of iota could be either a short I or a long I.
Okay, so it might be a better, an iota might have fit. Yeah, it might be one of the cases where the iota is short there, and it would have been a better fit. Like I said, I just kind of made that up as I went along. That wasn't our vocabulary word for the week. So.
So.
Erase this before I get in more trouble with it. Any more questions, guys? Anything else? Okay, I'll stand, stretch our legs, and have a word of prayer. Father, we just come before you tonight and thank you that you are so gracious to us to allow us again the freedom and privilege of studying your word and about your word, Lord. Father, we pray that things that we learn here tonight would help us to be better students, Lord. Lord, start with me. Help me to be a better student, Lord, with this, Father. It's never been a strong suit, but Lord, I pray that you would help all this to build us, all of us up, Lord. Father, I thank you for the people that are gathered here tonight. Just praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.